The most comforting thing in all the Bible to me is the fact that after I've repented of my sins and put my trust in Jesus Christ, I will never lose that precious gift. It is eternal. Now, we call this doctrine by different names. Some people call it once saved, always saved. Others call it eternal security. Others call it the perseverance of the saints. And still others call it the preservation of God's people. Denominations disagree on this issue vehemently. We're going to study for the next few weeks what Scripture says about the doctrine of eternal security, which is what I prefer to call it. There are denominations that teach that you can fall away from God's grace after you've been saved and forfeit your salvation. Let me give you an example. Free Will Baptists. They're Baptists, but nonetheless, they teach that you can exercise your free will and walk away from God. You can come to the point where you decide, I don't want to be a Christian anymore, and God will let you go. Many of the Pentecostal and charismatic denominations, the Church of God and the Assemblies of God and others teach that you can lose the gift of salvation. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, taught that you could fall away. You could, as he called it, fall from grace and lose your salvation. But the vast majority of Presbyterian churches teach that you are eternally secure. The Presbyterians tend to call this the perseverance of the saints. But those denominations that teach that you can lose your salvation, they have their verses too. They do. But in every case, they will misapply, misappropriate, misinterpret, and misunderstand the text. Anytime someone uses a scripture to try to teach you that you can lose your salvation, they are taking that scripture woefully out of context. As we sit here today, there are five different kinds of people. Here they are. Number one, those who are saved and they know it. How many of you are saved and you know it? Raise your hand. Okay, that's most of you. Very good. There are those in this building today who are saved, but you're doubting your salvation right now. Thirdly, there are those in this building who are lost, and you don't know it. Number four, there are those in this building who are lost, and they do know it. You know you're lost. And number five, there are those in this building today who are lost, but they think they're saved. And this is the most dangerous place you can be, to be lost, but you believe that you're going to heaven. So let me give you today just a few scriptures. We'll pick up again next week. Turn to the verse I read as a text a moment ago, John 10. And let me be quick here. John 10 in verse 28 and 29. I give unto them eternal life. Now, this is a question I have posed to you before from this pulpit, and I'm going to do it again. When does eternal life begin? And many of you would say, not all, I hope, but many of you would say, oh, I get eternal life when I get to heaven. When I die and go to heaven, that's when eternal life begins. No, it doesn't. You get eternal life the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ. John 5, verse 24, here's what Jesus said about that. He said, he who believes on me has eternal life. Not will have. Not one day when they get to heaven will receive. But he who believes on me, he has right now eternal life. The very moment you were saved, God gave you the gift of eternal life. It is, in fact, present possession. Don't say, when I get eternal life one day, you already have it. And the only thing that separates you from heaven is your last breath. Jesus is very clear on this. It is eternal, and it is a gift. He said, I'm giving it to them as a gift of grace. If eternal life begins the moment you were saved, if you could lose it at any point beyond that, it wasn't eternal, was it? I've shared this with some Pentecostal friends of mine who believe that you can be saved one day and lost the next. And I have said unto them, if you could lose eternal life, and you get it when you're saved, but if you could lose it, it wasn't eternal after all. It was only temporary life, and Jesus lied to us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him will not perish. That is the most applied, appropriated, quoted, memorized verse of Scripture in all the Bible, and it is filled with eternal security. They will not perish. I have read that verse thousands of times, and you know what? I have yet to see the word unless in that verse. Now, if the Pentecostals and the Charismatics and the Assemblies of God are right, how do you explain the absence of the word unless? Jesus said, he that believeth on me, he that believeth in me shall not perish unless. Unless they backslide, unless they walk away from God, unless they commit some sort of unpardonable sin. That word unless is not in the text. It is absent here, which means God loved you so much that He gives you eternal life, and it is just that. It is eternal. Not unless, but you are saved for eternity, period. Now, the word perish, shall not perish, does not refer to physical life. Jesus is not making a promise in John 3:16 that you will never die physically. You're going to if Jesus tarries His coming. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed that a man wants to die, and then, after this comes the judgment. You have a date with death. No, it's not a reference to physical death. It's a reference to dying eternally. It is a reference to spiritual death. They shall never perish spiritually. Now, I've shared this with you before, but some of you haven't heard this. And it's important you grasp this. Greek scholars say that the word never is the most emphatic word in the New Testament Greek language. It means never, 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 never. Under any circumstances, there will never be any condition that causes you to lose the gift of God. You will by no means perish eternally, and neither will anything pluck them out of my hand. Let me tell you where I am. I'm in Jesus. Let me tell you where Jesus is. He's in the Father. And I would call that certain protection, wouldn't you? He said, nothing is going to pluck them out of my hand. I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. That is security. Now, let me tell you the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I've heard some dumb things in my life, but this is the dumbest. I was talking one day with a pastor from another denomination, and we were talking about the doctrine of eternal security. And I said, brother, what do you do with John 10:28? I said, what does it mean? I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I'm quoting now. Here's what he said. Well, God says that when you become a Christian, no man will ever pluck you out of the Father's hand, but Jesus didn't say you couldn't jump out of His hand. Jesus didn't say you couldn't exercise your free will and jump out of His hand. You know what you are? You're in the grip of God's grace. He's got you covered. He has you so balled up in His fist that you could never get out. It is called the grip of God's amazing grace. He will never let you go. It is security for all of eternity. Anybody who says you can jump out of God's hand is adding to the Scriptures. And if I read the Bible correctly, that's a very dangerous thing to do. Here's the next one. Turn to John 6. John chapter 6, and we'll see the next one. It is one verse. It's verse 39 of John 6. You're over in chapter 10, back to chapter 6. Let's see this verse. Now, there are more than 10 verses on eternal security in the New Testament. I have chosen for the next 3 weeks those verses I think are the most compelling. Let's look at this 39th verse, and we're going to see Jesus giving you assurance that you can ever lose that great gift. John 6:39. Jesus said, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing." Now, if the loss of salvation is true, Jesus just lied to you. Well, you say, what about Judas? You know, Jesus talked about Judas in the scriptures, and he said, none of them is lost. This was Jesus praying in the upper room before he went to the cross. And he said, Father, I thank you that these men around me, none of them is lost except the son of perdition. He was talking about Judas Iscariot. Judas died according to Acts chapter 1, and he went to hell. But you know what Jesus was saying there? He was saying that Judas was never saved to begin with. Never saved to begin with. The others were, but Judas was never in the grip of God's grace to start with. A lot of people think Judas lost his salvation. No, he never had it. You cannot lose something you've never had before. It is, in every sense of the word, an eternal gift from God. None of them is lost. Jesus prayed that the Father in the upper room would keep you. He said, Father, keep those that I have given to you. Keep those that I'm going to purchase tomorrow on the cross. When Jesus prayed that God would keep you, if you could lose your salvation, the prayer of Jesus went unanswered. But God answered every prayer Jesus prayed. And so for those of you today who have worried about this, for those of you who have been troubled by this, if you have never been saved, you have every right to doubt your salvation. If you have never come to Christ, you have every right not to believe that you are eternally secure because you've never been saved to start with. You cannot lose again something that you've never had. Can I tell you what gave me assurance? I troubled and worried, and I was concerned as a teenager about losing the gift of God. And one day I thought I was saved. The next day I would do something sinful and think, well, I probably wasn't saved to begin with, or I lost the gift of God. I decided in the summer of 1973, after school was out, to read every verse in the New Testament, from Matthew 1 to Revelation 22, and I wrote them down in a loose leaf notebook. And after having read every verse in the New Testament, I marked down, highlighted every one of them that talked about eternal security. And from that moment on, it's never been an issue with me. Why do I believe I'm eternally secure? The Bible tells me so. Now you say, what about the people that make a profession of faith and then a few weeks or a few months later, they go back on God, they quit coming to church, they go back into the life of sin that they once were a part of? Well, what happened to them? Did they lose their salvation? Of course not. Have you ever stopped to consider the possibility that they were never saved to begin with? See, we use that word backslidden a lot. Well, he's just backslidden. He came to Christ in 1978, hadn't been to church since. He's just backslidden. No, folks. You've got to understand something. The faith that God gives you will be an enduring faith. I am persuaded, having been in ministry for a long time, that a lot of the people we just think are backslidden have never truly been changed by the amazing grace of God. Not saved to begin with. I want you to join me in 2 Peter 2 for a moment, and I want to talk to you for a moment about the proverb of the pig. Let's go. 2 Peter chapter 2. Here's the answer to the question, well, did they lose their salvation? They've left God. They don't go to church anymore. They are in sin again. They're out here in the world. No, I think the vast majority of those people probably made a profession, but they didn't have a possession. A profession of faith means nothing without the possession of the Holy Spirit. So 2 Peter, let's look at this second chapter and verse number 20. Now, this is a very graphic illustration, but I can't think of a better one for Peter to use than this, because he's talking about the nature of a pig. The nature of a pig. Look at this. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, let me stop and explain that. There are millions of people who make a profession of faith, and they try to do better. They turn over a new leaf. They quit their drinking. They quit their carousing. They quit their drug use. They have escaped the pollutions of the world. Doesn't mean they're saved. You know, you can stop doing a lot of things and still be lost. How many people I've seen in ministry say to me, Pastor, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to quit drinking, quit doing all the things I've been doing. I am going to turn my back on the world and live for God. And within a matter of days or weeks, that resolution, that promise fades away. Do you know why that is the case? Because, and this is the graphic part, they don't have a new nature. They don't have the nature of a sheep. They've got the nature of a pig. Peter used the word, don't blame me, look at this. He said, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, meaning they knew about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And then he said in verse 22, it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow having been washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Do you know why you don't want to sin? Because you have the nature of a sheep. You're one of God's sheep, and they're among the cleanest animals on the face of the earth. Very fastidious. They don't want to get dirty. Pigs, on the other hand, get out of the pig pen. You can hose them off, throw some perfume on them, put a bow around their neck, and clean them up the best you can, and within 5 minutes, they're back in the pig pen because they don't have the nature of the sheep. They have a nature that wants to run to sin and not from sin. Do you know anyone like that? Oh, he made a profession of faith 5 years ago. Where is he now? Back to doing what he used to do. Very unlikely that man or woman has ever met Jesus. I heard Adrian Rogers say this years ago, and I want you to hear it. A faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw from the first. A faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw from the first. You really saved? You keep living for Christ. We call it the perseverance of the saints. True Christians persevere. Now, don't get me wrong. We have all at one time or another in our life as Christians fallen back in our fellowship. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a huge difference between falling away from our fellowship and falling away from our faith. We will never renounce that. Here's the last one for this morning. Philippians 1, please. Philippians 1. Go over there and we'll read one verse, verse 6. Pardon me. Philippians 1. This is in the top 10 list. This one barely made the cut. There are scores of verses in the New Testament that teach eternal security. I was going to limit myself to 10 of them. This one barely made the cut. There were others I could have put in today, but I regard this as one of the top 10. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you shall complete it. That's what he's saying in essence. What is the good work? He who began a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The good work is God's good work of salvation in you. And he said, I can be confident of this, being confident of this very thing. You can be confident of the assurance of salvation because God made you an irrevocable promise that what he, listen, starts, he finishes. What he commences, he will always complete. You didn't save yourself, therefore you can't complete your salvation. God did that. Salvation is by grace from start to finish. Also here, as in the other verse, I don't see the word unless anywhere. He that began a good work in you will complete it unless you quit going to church, unless you backslide, unless you deny Jesus. No, this is an unconditional promise. God saves us forever. I'm not going to ask you to turn to Hebrews 12. Time is almost gone, but listen to this verse. The writer of Hebrews said that we are running the race and we are going to finish. We're not going to lose our salvation halfway through this marathon called the Christian life. We are going to break the tape. One day we are going to cross the finish line. We may cross the finish line in heaven battered, bruised, beleaguered, having had a hard Christian life. We may even limp across the finish line, but we're going to finish. One day we will finish. If you don't hear anything I say today, listen to this. There is no such thing as barely making it to heaven. Let me repeat that. There is no such thing as barely making it to heaven. This comes, I think you've heard this. If you're old enough, you've heard Job 19:20. You didn't know the context, but have you ever heard the old saying, oh, they were saved by the skin of their teeth? It's biblical, Job 19:20. It's taken out of context. I'll never forget standing in line at a funeral visitation years ago down at Warlick Funeral Home, and two men were talking behind me. You need to be careful what you are saying when there's a pastor standing in front of you. They didn't know I was one. And here's what they were talking about the lady who had died. And this was just off the charts awful. But they said, well, you know, she didn't live a real good life. I guess she was saved by the skin of her teeth. She probably barely made it into heaven. No one barely makes it into heaven. We all go to heaven the same way. But you know what Job meant when he said, I was saved by the skin of my teeth? It had nothing to do with his salvation. Job was talking about being delivered from certain death. He had boils all over him. He was sick. God had afflicted him. And Job said, I just barely lived. I was that close to death. But nobody, again, nobody is ever saved by the skin of their teeth. Salvation is God's work. It is not your work. He will complete it. How long is he going to take to complete it? How long will this salvation last? The writer of this book says, until the day that Jesus returns. Until he comes, nothing will ever happen between right now and then to cause you to lose this most precious of all gifts. What's the work here? The work he talks about. He's going to finish what he starts, and he's going to make you more like Jesus down here and just like Jesus up there. Pray with me. Heads are bowed. Father, on this day, we thank you for the word we've heard. And I pray, Father, that there be one person in this building today that thinks they're saved, but they're not. That they would do business with God. Father, there are perhaps some people in this church today who are not Christians. And this is their opportunity to get their life right with you. They have turned over new leaves, they have reformed, they've tried to do better, but they never genuinely trusted Christ. That appeal that I am giving, Father, is the difference between life and death spiritually. Would your Holy Spirit compel them to the cross today? And I pray, Father, for those in this building who might think they're saved, but they're not. Would you open their eyes today to their spiritual condition? And all these things we will ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.